Take your Bible, if you would, please. Turn to Judges chapter 14. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now Samson wasn't a Philistine, was he? He was a Nazarite. He was of a Hebrew. He was set apart unto God. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother looked at each other, said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all thy people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. You know, you can take the girl out of her people, but you can't take her people out of her. His parents knew very well that beauty is only skin deep, and how a girl is raised and trained for the first 20 years of her life is not going to be an easy thing to overcome. You take someone who's been raised with ungodly ideals, someone who's been raised in the world, someone who's been raised a Philistine, it's not going to be an easy thing for her to become a Hebrew unless she fully converts, repents, fully seeks the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, like Ruth did, and completely casts off the old. Well, that wasn't the case here. This girl, he didn't find her in Sunday school or in church. He found her in the Philistines' land. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at the time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Being of the Lord does not mean that God wanted him to be rebellious against his parents. It means that God was allowing this. God was allowing this because God had a purpose to bring him in conflict with the Philistines. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyard of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked to the woman, and she pleased Samson well. Oh, I mean, she was an angel. She was just what? Everything he ever wanted. Well, if you read on through the story, he put a riddle forth to these men. He went down for a wedding ceremony, and at the wedding feast, he put forth a riddle. And in verse 14, he said unto the men, the Philistine men, those who were of her kindred, because when you marry a young lady, you marry a family. He said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of what? My people. And hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told my father and my mother. And shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to who? The children of her people. Now turn to Judges 16. Verse 4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Now this was also a woman of the Philistines. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Well, you know, Samson seems to be a slow learner. He might have had big biceps. He might have been really strong. But he didn't seem to be all that bright. He had a weak spot. And that was when he saw an angel, he failed to see that often there's a devil behind the angel. And he only focused on the angel and never detected the devil behind the angel. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it touches the fire, so his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, where thou mightest be bound. Man, that ought to give it away right there. Any man with a brain ought to jump and run. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. He's getting closer, isn't he? And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times. You think Samson had a memory? Seems like I've been here before. You know, you think the guy would stop and say, You know, I've had an experience similar to this before. What happened then? And has not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head. For I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be as any other man. And when Delilah saw that he told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their God, and to rejoice, for they said, Our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass in their hearts were merry that they said, Call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. They brought him out there and made a fool out of him. He had been serving their cause, grinding in their prison house. He had become a trophy of the devil. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me that I may feel the pillars wherewith the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women, and beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah, his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. But she's an angel. But there's a devil behind that angel. Isn't it interesting that we can see it? We can read the story and we can say, "Wake up, fella. What are you doing?" He says, "But she's an angel. She's everything I ever wanted. She's, my eyes are focused." He could not see the devil because he was looking at the angel. He was focused on that angel. His parents knew better, but he wouldn't listen to them. His parents could have seen it. Had he asked them, they would have said, "There's a devil behind that angel." But he didn't ask them. His pastor would have known it, but he didn't ask it. He had been warned. God had given him chances. God had taught him this lesson before in a way where he was spared. But he didn't heed it. All he can see is this angel. I believe with every attack of the devil, you will initially only see an angel. But there is a devil behind the angel. If you miss it, if you ignore it, if you don't pay attention to it, the enemy will capture you just like it did Samson. It will make sport of you. It'll make a fool out of you. It'll rob you and enslave you. And you will serve the devil's cause. And they will rejoice over your fall and ruin. And you will be the devil's trophy. Because the devil got you focused on an angel. And he was behind the angel. And you weren't paying attention. Are you listening to me this morning? They say that Solomon was probably thinking of Samson when he wrote Proverbs 7, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live in the law, my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers and write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger, from the angel which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones. I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart." And it goes on to say, "With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks, as a Samson following his angel, till a dart strike through his liver." You know why it says liver? Those are the vitals. When you shoot something, you want to shoot heart, lung, liver, right? "As a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded." And here's where they think he's probably thinking of Samson. "Yea, many strong men have been slain by her." Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. All this young man that he looked out his window and saw, all this young man could see was an angel. But there was a devil behind the angel.
Right.
Solomon could see this young man's devil. He could see that Samson's angel had a devil behind it. But isn't it something that Solomon could not see the devil behind his own angel? He called this young man simple and void of understanding because he could not see the devil behind the angel. But how much more simple and void of understanding is the man who wrote the proverb, and the man who saw Samson's example and then at the same time followed his own angel to his own destruction? Turn to 2 Corinthians 11. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. What was that subtlety? He presented himself as an angel. He presented himself as concerned, as a friend, as caring. He said, I fear, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity or the singularness, the purity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, the apostles having to defend himself, because the Corinthians have seen an angel of light. They've seen a teacher that has impressed them. They've been enthralled with this teacher, and the Apostle Paul is going to tell them there's a devil behind the angel. And you need to wake up. In 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Well, what did the people say? What they saw was an apostle. They saw workers. They saw apostles of Christ. Paul saw deceitful workers, false apostles, who were transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And he said, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Do you think the devil is going to come to you as he really is? Then you're a fool. The devil is never going to present himself to you as he really is. He's never going to come to you and say, this is where I'm taking you. He's going to come to you hiding behind an angel of some sort. They saw an angel. The Apostle Paul saw the devil. He says, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end should be according to their works. Satan always puts on the face of an angel or hides behind an angel. You never see the ugly side first. You only see the pretty side first. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians, the Galatian people, the Galatian churches. You notice it says churches of Galatia. It was a region, not just a city. The churches of Galatia had become enthralled with some teachers. All they could see was an angelic presentation. Oh, he's a nice guy. Oh, he's funny. Or he's smart. Or he's handsome. Or he has a nice family. Or he's eloquent. Or he tells the best stories. He seems like an angel. What does the Apostle Paul say? He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You notice he didn't say, though we or a devil from hell. Why? He knows the devil's not going to come masquerading as a devil. He knows the devil's not going to present himself as a devil. He's going to present himself as an angel. He says, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. The Galatians saw an angel. Oh, how angelic. Another gospel. Oh, this is something new and exciting. All sins forgiven, past, present, and future. Pray a simple prayer and ask Jesus into your heart. Eternally secure for home in heaven, no matter what you do. Jesus' righteousness put on your record so that even if you are living in sin, God only sees you as righteous. And on it goes. Perversion after perversion. How angelic. Hey, 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 listen to me. You may see an angel. It may appeal to your flesh. It may be something that draws you. You feel comfortable with it. But there may be a devil behind that angel.
That's right.
There may be a devil behind that angel. Turn to Acts 16. I hope you can make application in your life, because you will need to sooner or later, and probably many times, if you're going to avoid the devil behind the angel. Acts 16:16. And it came to pass as they went to prayer. The Apostle Paul is going out into the Gentile world trying to evangelize. He's working. He comes to a town. And he's trying to gain some converts. And there's this young lady there who is well known in the town. And it came to pass as they went to prayer, a certain damsel, a nice young lady, well-known, popular, met us, which brought her masters much gain through soothsaying. She had a spirit of divination. But that's what we are told. We're getting the inside story. Okay? When she met them, she probably just had a big smile on her face. And the same followed Paul. She got in line with the group that was going to prayer, and she started rejoicing. She cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Well, most preachers would have thought, wow, boy, we're having revival now. Boy, this is great. This young lady's here, they probably would have been flattered. Here's a young lady telling everybody that we're the servants of the Most High God. And we are. And we're showing them the way of salvation. And that's exactly what we're doing. And she's popular. And she's well known. And this is really going to work good. The Apostle Paul was a little more perceptive than that. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And it says, and this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit. He saw something behind the angel. He said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Who would have ever suspected it was a devil? Who would have ever suspected that was a devil speaking? Well, you'd have to be a man full of the Holy Ghost to catch on to those kind of things.
Right.
It's not always easy to discern. It's not always easy to see. But though what she was saying would have been very flattering to the normal preacher, he would have felt like, boy, God is in it. In 2006, someone thought they had discovered an angel, a cassette tape sermon that eased their conviction, granted liberty to their carnal minds. They found some teacher that tickled their ears. They saw an angel. I saw a devil. They said they were having a revival and I refused to grow. But there was a devil behind that angel. And time has manifested that. In 1999, there was a man in our church who had a job opportunity. Good money. But would keep him away from home and church for large portions of time. He had three teenage boys who needed to spend time and be trained by their father. This job was going to take him away from them to a large degree. The father needed to be in church with his family and have Christian fellowship. But it was an angel of a job. Watch out! Watch out! The devil's not going to come and offer you something that's going to be beneficial to you. He's not going to come and offer you something that you really don't care about. He's going to offer you that which you have been pursuing. He's going to offer you that which he knows you place high value on.
That's right.
This man needed a good job. He had a job, but it wasn't like this job. But there was a devil behind that angel. I told him, I said, your boys need you. Your boys need you. They need a daddy in the home. As far as I know, all three of the boys went to the world. A number of years ago, there was a woman in the church who put on such an angelic front, so sweet and caring, prying into other families' problems with a sympathetic ear. Oh, she was a good listener, but she was also a good teller, too. One woman saw her as the sister she never had. What an angel. But there was a devil behind that angel. Time has proved it. That sister she never had has proven to be a devil. You know, in 1 Timothy 5:13 it says, "And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." You know, ladies, the Bible indicates that you have a weakness here. You need to be careful. Your angelic intentions can be used to the devil if you're not careful. I remember there used to be a family here that had a son. A son who was rebellious. He needed some training by a strong hand. He needed some good, strong guidance. His mama could only see an angel. She was his angel. The devil used that situation to destroy the spiritual progress of the whole family. The mama couldn't see the devil working behind the angel. Just like Samson, these people were warned by someone who saw the devil behind the angel. They could only see the angel. That's all they wanted to see was the angel. They only wanted to see the angel. They didn't want to believe that there was a devil behind that angel. Eve was such an angel. No doubt. Eve was an angel. But you know what? The devil knew that the way to get to Adam was to work behind the angel. He'd never gotten to Adam any other way. If he'd just come up to Adam, Adam probably told him to get lost. But he worked behind an angel. You know, the Gibeonites had such an angelic story. Flattery. Oh, we've come from a far country because of your fame and testimony. Because we've heard of the great deeds that your God has done. And we've traveled all this way. And our bread that was fresh out of the oven now is moldy. And our shoes are worn out. And we've come all this way just to make a league with you because we honor your God. Wow. Whoopee. Hey guys, check this out. You know, we're really being a testimony here. Watch out, Joshua. There's a devil behind that angelic front. You'd better seek God, Joshua. Oh, no. What could go wrong here? This is a no-brainer. Is it? Three days later, they find out they just lived over the hill. You know, Jesus could always detect the devil behind the angel. Turn to John chapter 2. John chapter 2 and verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Wow! This is just what we've been looking for. A great day, success, approval. What does it say? But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He wasn't taken up, he wasn't swept off his feet by this angel. The devil could not work through them. John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 65. Jesus is having a very intense discussion. And he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. The people had rejected him. And from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. But there was a group left. Surely the ones who stayed at this time were genuine. Surely this group I can really trust in. They're the ones who've stayed. They're the ones who've stuck even in this trying moment when many others left. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Was Jesus flattered? Was he swept off his feet? Was he off guard? Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? Can you imagine being the pastor? Half, three-fourths of the church walk out. You say to the rest, are you going to also go away? And they say, no, we believe. We believe in what you're doing. We're with you. We're with you, brother. And you turn around and say, yeah, but one of you is still a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Jesus always could see the devil behind the angel. The apostles couldn't see it. Up to the Last Supper, they did not know who it was. They were willing to say, is it I? They did not know who it was. He was such an angel. But Jesus said, there's a devil behind that angel. In Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that the Son of Man am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This message that Peter said was from the Spirit of God. It was truth. And Jesus commended it. Verse 20, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. This message is from the same man. It's full of good news, love, and concern. But was it from God? Peter was focused on an angel of success and human well-being. He didn't see the devil behind it, but Jesus did. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. This false concept was from the devil. The intentions were angelic. He was not an ungodly man. He had just spoken truth. But this concept, this idea, this word was from the devil. There was a devil behind this one. And where would this concept lead? What if Jesus had followed it? What if Jesus had been influenced by this? What if he had yielded to this? Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There was a lot at stake there. Peter's little comment of concern was totally out of line with the Word of God. After being filled with the Holy Ghost, Peter then could see it. We find Peter in Acts 5 dealing with some angelic church members. These two church members, his husband and wife, they had sold a bunch of property and brought all the money to the church. Oh, they're some of the best members we have. They're just the most precious people. They're just sweet. And look what they've done. Peter, full of the Holy Ghost now, he saw through it. He saw that, yes, they sold a bunch of property. Yes, they brought a bunch of money to the church. But they lied in doing so. They lied in doing so. There was a devil behind that angel. And he had to deal with it. In Acts 8:18, we find that Peter, again, full of the Holy Ghost, has a convert. This convert was a false teacher. Now he's converted. He's excited about what's going on. He sees the apostles laying on hands and people receiving the Holy Spirit. He wants to join in. He comes up and he wants to support the church. He wants to give money. He wants to be a part of this. He wants to be able to lay his hands on people and people to have the Holy Spirit. Boy, this guy is really turned around, isn't he? This guy's really, he's really made a change. He used to be a false teacher. Now he wants to lay hands on people and give them the Holy Spirit. Isn't this wonderful? Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. There was a devil behind that angel. Isn't this amazing? In 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. You say, well, how am I going to try a spirit? It says, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And it goes on to talk about what these teachers confess. So trying the spirit has to do with trying their doctrine. Trying what they're saying, lining it up with the Word of God. Does it line up with the Word of God? Oh, it may sound good. It may tickle my fancy. It may tickle my ears. It may make me feel good. It may stir me up. It may make me get excited. It may draw people in. But does it line up with the Word of God? Try the spirits. You notice it didn't say... try the spirits because there are many devils gone out into the world. It says false prophets. Now the false is something that they're telling us.
Right.
When they showed up, they just said, "We're a prophet. I'm a prophet. I'm a preacher." They showed up as a teacher. They didn't show up and say, "I'm a false prophet." Okay? But you don't have to look for the devils. You're not looking for devils. You're watching for angels. You're not watching for the drunkard. You're watching for teachers. Angels that look good on the outside. They're evangelistic. They're creationists. They believe in God. They believe in the Messiah. They defend the Scriptures. They're God's chosen people. And all that could have been said about the people who crucified Jesus.
That's right.
Every one of those. All that could have been said about the Apostle Paul while he was the number one enemy of the church. Now, I want to tell you this morning, be cautious of anything which you may humanly categorize as an angel. Because that's exactly where the devil is going to try and get you. Anything that appeals to your natural carnal affection. Turn to Deuteronomy 13. There is an end to this. Don't despair. Deuteronomy 13. Verse 6. And you ask yourself, what point is he making in this passage? If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul. What's he trying to say there? He's naming every angel in your life he can think of. Everything in your life that would be precious and dear, the wife of your bosom, the friend that is as thine own soul. he says, if they entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers. Namely, of the gods, the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth. Doesn't matter what god it is. Doesn't matter what name it is. From one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, if it's another god, if it's another gospel, if it's another way. He says here, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. What is he saying? The devil may get you through that which is dearest to you. Jesus said, if any man come to me and hate not father, mother, brother, sister, and his own life also. What's the point here? The point is this. What you are in love with, your darling, anything that you have in the angel category or could be categorized as an angel, it doesn't automatically mean it's wrong. It just means that if the devil's going to come after you, he's going to try one of those avenues.
Right.
A friend or a companion who you might put in the angel category may be heading in the wrong direction, may have wrong values. He may not be leading you closer to God. He may be leading you away from God. There may be a devil behind that angel. Amnon had a friend who was full of the devil. Proverbs 29:5 says, a man that flattereth his neighbor is a nice neighbor. No, it says it spreadeth a net for his feet. Romans 16:17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Well, that should be easy to see. No. It says, and by good words and fair speeches. That's what you see. Good words and fair speeches. All the rest of this is supplied by the Word of God. What you see is good words and fair speeches. God's the one who tells you they are causing divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. God's the one that's saying they're not serving the Lord Jesus Christ, they're serving their belly. But what you see is good words and fair speeches. But you need to have enough understanding, and I'm going to tell you some points that you need to take to avoid this. You need to be able to detect that there's a devil in there. There's a devil in here somewhere. And you need to be able to sense it. How about an undisciplined child who has learned to lie and manipulate? Oh, they can be such a little angel in so many ways, but they can be used of the devil to divide and ruin relationships. Parents need to have the wisdom not to be blind to the needs of their own children and be in denial about the devil behind the angel. The devil is going to hide behind and work through anything that has the impression of innocence, beauty, or sweetness. What about the young man or young lady in the church that claims to be a Christian and really knows how to put that best foot forward? She's the one I want. You better watch out, young man. You better get some counsel from her, your parents. You better talk to the pastor about that. There may be a young man in the church or a young lady in the church, and they may know how to put on a good front. Watch out. When the devil sees a promising young man, a young man that has potential to grow up and be a pillar for God, the devil says, I know how to fix him. I'll get him linked up with her. That'll take care of him. Put him out of commission. Or he sees a young lady, godly young lady, could grow up. She could be a fabulous preacher's wife or a pillar's wife. The devil says, if I could just get her linked up with this fella, that'll take care of her effectiveness. There are many angels in life with the devil behind them. The devil knew how to get Samson and Solomon, didn't he? The wisest man and the strongest man. He got them both. Boom. He got them both. Some angels are intentionally deceptive and wicked. Some are sincere. Peter was sincere as the day is long. Oh, he was sincere. But he had some wrong ideas. Those wrong ideas, those things that he savored, the things that pertain to men. He savored that human well-being. And it almost destroyed him. Because he wasn't willing to die for truth and right. And until he became willing to die for truth and right, he was not very useful for God. He denied his Savior to save his life. Mrs. Job, I'm sure she was an angel most of the time. I mean, she was married to the godliest man. She had 10 children for him. Raised him up. She had to have been an angel, but there came a day in her life, a week time in her life, when she was overwhelmed. And the devil tried to get Job through that avenue. He's an opportunist. You know, Job was a very wise man. The devil tried every possible angel in his life. But he didn't get him. He took away his health. That's precious. He took away his children. He took away his belongings. His wife told him, curse God and die. His friend said, oh, you're just not right with God. His friends frustrated him and turned against him. If he had held any of those things dearer than truth and righteousness, the devil would have had him. The devil wants to know, what is it that you hold dearer than truth and righteousness? How can we escape the devils that hide behind angels? Four things quickly and I'm closing. Number one, don't assume everything that appears as an angel is an angel. That ought to be an easy one. Don't attach affection to anything, anyone, above truth and right. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, there is a safety factor in right priorities. If your number one priority is truth and righteousness above all the angels, the potential things that you could fall in love with out there, there's safety in that. Stop judging simply by outward appearance. What you hear, what you see, what you feel, what you think. Stop seeking that which pleases you, puffs you up, flatters you, comforts you, entertains you, makes you feel good, gains the praise of men. Stop having an ear for gossip, for flattery, for the easy way out, for self-preservation. Stop thinking you must have friends or human approval to be happy. These are all the categories where angels appear. The devil knows this. Get in the Word. Test everything by the Word. Number two, that is number two, get in the Word. Number one, don't assume everything that appears as an angel is an angel. Number two, get in the Word. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That you might discern the devil behind the angel. Number three, pray for wisdom. Seek God's face and direction. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. That means listen to Him.
Yes.
That means seek Him. That means talk to Him. And He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Number four, seek counsel from God-ordained authority. Samson could have been spared. Solomon could have been spared. Had Solomon gone to the priest and said, hey, what does the Word of God say about marrying outlandish wives? He could have been spared. Others often can see it better than you. The angel act has your attention. Your affections are attached to the angel. Others, parents, pastors, godly friends, oftentimes can see the angel and the devil behind the angel. They can see the danger there. Hebrews 5:14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. And what characterizes that? Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Those who've been in the Word. Those who've had their mind transformed by the Word of God. Those who've prayed for wisdom for years. Those who've had a lot of experience in this war. Their senses have been exercised to discern good and evil. Seek counsel. I've seen the devil stumble or snare many people in my years. As I went over this lesson and I thought back, tried to think of all the different scenarios, there were many. And every time I saw someone whom the devil had stumbled or snared, he always used something or someone who would have been in the angel category of their life. Something or someone they held dear. Something or someone they trusted. Something or someone they valued more than truth, right, and God's will. Something or someone they were in love with. It was their angel. Let's stand together. And I'm going to say to you before we go to prayer, I don't want you to forget it. Beware the devil behind the angel. Let's pray.